Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, this tax cut compromise has sucked so much of the political oxygen here in Washington. And the funniest part, as we elaborated on Wednesday, was the intra-party fighting now among Democrats. The president calling his liberal critics sanctimonious for cutting this deal with Republicans. And the verbiage only gets worse from there. We see here on Thursday the House Democratic Caucus saying they don't even want this to come to the floor. And another member of the Democratic Caucus, Maryland's Elijah Cummings, thinks that Republicans have basically snookered Obama here so that whatever happens, Republicans will either get credit for the tax cuts or Obama gets the blame if it doesn't help the economy.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. What's going to happen next year? The Republicans are going to come back. The deficit is going to be increased. And you know what they're going to call it? The Obama deficit.
Should we really give Republicans that much credit for basically covering all their bases? Or is there a conspiracy theory working here?
I'll tell you, Greg, no. There's no way we're that smart, clever, or shrewd. Well, first of all, it's kind of interesting that he predicts the deficit will go up. And yes, both of these steps of extending unemployment benefits and cutting taxes, both of those are things that increase deficit projections. But there's always a chance that you have actual genuine pickup in the economy. And if that occurs, you'll see more economic activity. You'll see more taxes being paid. And then the next question is, you know, do you cut spending in the next year? And one of the reasons that I think I'm at the very least okay with this deal is that I think that for a large part, the next 2 years are going to be discussing spending cuts. And where do we cut and how much do we cut and what's a reasonable expenditure by the government and what isn't and what's a priority and what's not. And so I think with any luck, the Republicans will be able to force Obama's hand on cutting spending. You know, we're already seeing a fight over pork and earmarks, and I think you're going to see a follow-up on various agricultural subsidies. So you may see genuine spending cuts, and that would obviously help a bit with the deficit. So I think his prediction on that might be wrong. Whether Obama's going to, you know, get blamed for the deficit, look, he's the president of the United States. I mean, that happens. That's, you know, Harry Truman told us where the buck stops. So the idea that somehow Obama was going to end up with more responsibility for the deficit under this deal than he otherwise would have is kind of fallacious thinking, I think.
Elijah Cummings later in that same clip basically said Republicans would use the greater deficits as a grand excuse to slash Medicare and Social Security, because apparently the Democrats in the healthcare bill didn't do a good enough job of that. So apparently more is coming down
the
pipe.
$500 billion taken out of that. You know, it's funny, Greg. We look at this just a couple moments ago. I was noticing that Mike McMahon, a New York Democratic congressman, is calling the Democrats who oppose this a bunch of petulant children. Obama is kind of saying that he thinks the people who oppose him on the Democrats who oppose him on this are confused. There is so much just nasty name calling and viciousness and sneering. I yearn for the simpler, kinder days of partisan fighting, Greg. You know, the good old days when it was just, you know, straight up Republicans versus Democrats. Now there's just so much negativity and nastiness in Washington.
Yeah, it's just really uncomfortable. Although I think congressional Republicans are putting the microwave popcorn in the microwave, just getting ready to butter it up, salt it, and watch this all play out here in the next few days. I think they're
hey,
really.
Hey, did you hear what
it.
He said about you? Are you going to take that from him? No, you tell. You show him. Come on, take a punch.
Exactly right. Over on the Senate side, it looks as though that getting this passed is going to be simpler, but it's not without a few headaches. Here's our old favorite Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid about how he'd like to tweak this.
There's some things I think that I would make the bill much better, and I'm going to work on those. Telling everybody here what I would like to do would be a good way to doom whatever I want to do.
And that would be good enough on its own as the bad martini for today. But Harry Reid went further than that, because there's this debate going on about whether in exchange for allowing this compromise to pass, there should be a vote to expand the debt ceiling. Harry Reid says yes, but not till next year.
I want the Republicans to have some buy-in on the debt. They're going to have a majority in the House. I think they should have some kind of a buy-in on the debt. I don't think it should be when we have a heavily Democratic Senate, heavily Democratic House, and Democratic President.
Is this another clumsy trap being set in the other direction now, Jim?
We want to vote for the spending, but we don't want to raise to vote the debt ceiling. So we'll put the painful vote next year when there are more Republicans in here. Once again, we can bring back one of our recurring catchphrases. Way to go, Nevada. I'm sure, you know, boy, that Sharon Engel, that would have been so difficult, so painful, huh? It's interesting. I'm hearing a little bit of discussion from other folks who are, you know, watching the Hill, who really think that if there is this egregious internet gambling provision that Reid wants stuck in there, and various other little bits of pork and sweeteners and earmarks and all this extraneous stuff in it. I think there's a there's now talk that this might go down. The Republicans who won do not want their last act of this, even as much as they want the tax cuts, they don't want to vote for something that has a Christmas tree. The old saying is, everybody brings an ornament. Everybody brings one thing that they want to put in the bill, and it ends up having four hundreds of extraneous bits of legislation on it, some of which will probably end up proving to be quite controversial. I think the idea of putting an internet gambling provision in a tax cut bill seems almost like the bridge to nowhere. It seems like something that's just so far out from the main point of the bill. People are wondering what the heck it's going in there. Easily creates headlines. It easily creates scrutiny. And I think there would probably be nothing more fitting to illustrate the state of Democratic governance than to have this major compromise negotiated by the president sunk by the fact that Harry Reid puts his own provincial priorities of internet gambling and helping out casinos in Nevada so high that he ends up botching the whole deal. On the other hand, there's a part of me that wonders, if you want to talk about three-level chess, whether Harry Reid really wants the deal to be scuttled, and this is his backdoor way of doing it.
Absolutely. First of all, he should postpone it 5 years till his next campaign. And secondly, now would be a bad time to do it because Julian Assange will get all the money when he hacks into the internet gambling sites anyway. So this might not be the best time for that. But on to...
Greg, don't say that. Somebody's going to hack this podcast and we'll end up having, helium voices or swearing or, some other... All the really off-color stuff that we edit out of this is going to end up with it because of the nefarious work of hackers.
Exactly right. On to the third martini now. It's always the crazy one. And who better to help us out with that today than House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who was one of the final speakers in support of the DREAM Act, which was approved by the House on Wednesday night. It faces a much dicier future in the Senate in this lame duck session. Most expect it to fail there. But here's Pelosi saying that the DREAM Act, which is, in the minds of many, a stepping stone to full-blown amnesty, is... right in the path of the dream of our founding fathers.
And so tonight we have an opportunity to identify with the aspirations of our founders. And we know that if we are going to have a better future for our country, it is important for us to recognize the children who are here.
Don't really remember the amnesty or lax immigration policy being a calling card of the revolution, but I could be mistaken.
There was that, and the whole convention in Philadelphia, they were talking about the children of illegal immigrants the whole time there.
Right.
Greg, as I hear that, a couple of familiar thoughts come to mind. One, I still don't understand why Nancy Pelosi is a Democrats leader. I mean, whenever I try to put myself in the shoes of the Democrats, I don't even think from where they sit she does a particularly good job of leading the caucus and leading their party.
Agreed.
The second thing is I think this is a thoroughly disingenuous argument on the part of its advocates, because let's say you really, really want to do something for these illegal immigrant children so that they become American citizens, so they become Americanized, so they become, live happy, fruitful, productive lives legally in this country. If you secured the border, America would look very, very differently at the illegal immigrants who are already currently here. That they would realize the problem isn't getting worse. They'd actually feel like government had actually met one of its key responsibilities of making sure that people who are not supposed to come into this country don't come into this country. And then you could say, all right, how do we deal with the people who are here? What is fair? What is reasonable? What is logistically feasible? And what is something that honors our law and justice and traditions? If you did that, then you could actually get some progress on this. But they want the DREAM Act without border security. And essentially, this amounts to another amnesty. This amounts to a way that you come here illegally. We're going to find a way to make you legal with really no serious legal consequence. And that's, to me, this idea that it's not really about the kids. It's about, creating another amnesty and creating a whole bunch of, I think the long-term plan is create a whole bunch of new Democratic voters.
Well, that's clearly the plan, and there are still some Republicans who like the cheap labor. We'll see what happens in the Senate, because by no one's surprise, it easily passed the House. Jim, a full day as usual. We'll talk to you Friday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.